But tax authorities want more than that now. They want to look not at a sample of data, but they want to look at every single transaction. And they don't want to wait, till 6 months, a year, 2 years after the fact, because, really it's too late then.
Welcome back to Future Proof. Really glad you're here with us this week, folks. I'm Bill Sheridan. 24 hours a day. In fact, I'm Bill Sheridan. I'm your host. Happy to be here. As always, glad you're here with us. We got a good show for you this week, and we're going to get to it here in just a second. First, a reminder that this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers. And these are folks, we actually like to think of these folks as partners. These are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession, including this podcast. But these partners, folks, they do way more than that, too. They're doing things that we believe can help y'all become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And help is really the key word here. They truly, truly do want to help. So please reach out to them. Find out more about what they can do and how they can help you, because they can. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org/showcase. So, all right, buckle up, folks, because this week we're going to be talking about electronic invoicing. Yeah, you heard right. And yes, it is more exciting than it sounds. And let me explain why. Okay. Specifically, we're talking about the exchange of invoicing documents between suppliers and buyers in electronic format. And that enables companies to securely exchange invoices while also allowing tax authorities to monitor them. And when it comes to tax authorities looking to maximize indirect tax collection, this is clearly the direction that most of the world is going in, right? Last year alone, the list of countries that implemented mandatory e-invoicing included Egypt, France, Greece, India, Ireland, Italy, Jordan, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal. You want more? Okay, here's more. Saudi Arabia, Spain, the United Kingdom, Vietnam. You get the idea, right? And even more than that, launched pilot programs on a voluntary basis before more widespread adoption comes around. And the Business Payments Coalition is behind much of these efforts, right? And here's how the BPC describes the issue. They write, quote, paper invoices are highly inefficient and more expensive for the buyer and supplier. An electronic invoice offers an opportunity to reduce manual effort for both buyers and suppliers while supporting multinational compliance. In addition, e-invoicing is the first step to achieving straight-through processing for business-to-business payment transactions. Using common standards and protocols will mean interoperability. That's a scalable ecosystem that simplifies and reduces the cost of exchanging e-invoices among different systems, enabling broader connectivity, end quote. So, like we said, a big chunk of the world is already on board, and a number of other countries are working their way through voluntary pilot programs with more widespread adoption to come. And that's kind of where we find the United States, right? Or where we found the United States last year, I should say. In 2022, the U.S. joined the list of companies that began piloting e-invoicing through what was called the e-invoice exchange market pilot. So back in June of last year, 78 organizations signed on to participate in the U.S. market pilot, and Accounting Today described that program as, quote, an initiative to build and test a virtual network that will allow U.S. businesses to exchange e-invoices with each other through a secure open e-invoice delivery framework between providers. And the 2022 pilot program called for three waves of access point delivery and development, with each successive wave building upon the previous ones. And the pilot was supposed to run through the end of 2022 to kind of establish an operational B2B invoice exchange framework for the U.S. market this year. So that's the ultimate goal, right? Is to help international tax authorities with the collection of indirect taxes, such as value added taxes and sales taxes. So that's where we're at, right? We got through that pilot program in 2022, looking for potentially more widespread adoption here in 2023. And the hope was that that pilot program would lead to a live network at some point this year. So this week, I wanted to revisit kind of a conversation that I had last summer with Alex Balf. Alex is Senior Director of Global Indirect Tax at Avalara. And Alex and I, we sat down to discuss the pilot program, who's involved, right? What comes next, more importantly, and perhaps most important of all, what CPAs need to know about all of this. So a really great talk this week about an initiative that should have increasing impact as time goes on, and one that I think you're definitely going to want to pay attention to going forward. Here is my conversation with Alex Balf. Alex, thanks so much for being here. So let's start here. Tell me a little bit about, well, first of all, I think we want to talk at length about the e-invoice exchange market here in the U.S., but kind of lay the groundwork for me, if you could, a little bit about e-invoicing and what's going on, not only here in the U.S., but globally that we ought to be paying attention to.
Thanks, Bill. And thank you so much for having me as a guest. E-invoicing is the clear direction of travel for governments and tax authorities across the globe. We're really seeing this as a global trend, and probably originated in Latin America, South America. Countries like Brazil have actually had e-invoicing mandates in place for over a decade now. So businesses in the region are really used to interacting with the local government, the tax authority, for every sale they make. And in fact, in Brazil, even movements of goods across individual states, there's an electronic submission, of the document, a transport documentation, an invoice, and there's real-time tracking of those goods. But we've seen that trend now spread to almost every corner of the globe. And, in particular within Europe and the European Union, it's really such a hot topic. And, one of the reasons is, within Europe, we have VAT, the VAT tax. And unlike sales tax, businesses can take a credit. They can actually recover VAT that they incur for a business purpose. And there's quite a high level of fraud within VAT, and particularly within the EU. And there's something we call the VAT gap. And the VAT gap is the amount of VAT that's going missing, either through to fraud or errors. And it's about 134 billion euros at the last count.
Wow.
So tax authorities are obviously trying to close that gap, really maximize the tax that needs to be collected. And the traditional way of businesses preparing a summary VAT return, a tax return, aggregating the total value of sales they've made, aggregating the tax they've collected, calculating the net position to the tax authority, that doesn't really give the tax authorities the visibility they really need. Even when it comes to audit activity, it's often on a sample basis. It's looking at paper documents, it's looking at bank statements, potentially in some countries looking at data from an ERP. But tax authorities want more than that now. They want to look not at a sample of data, but they want to look at every single transaction. And they don't want to wait, till 6 months, a year, 2 years after the fact, because, really it's too late then if there's been fraud, if someone's trying to evade tax, at that point it's maybe too difficult to get it back. So, the real driver to e-invoicing is to let's get all of that transactional data in real time, at the time of sale, at the point of transaction. And the government is actually sitting in the middle between a seller, between a vendor and its customer. And the mandates typically say for business to business sales, the invoice has to be submitted electronically in a predefined format to a government tax authority portal. The government actually approves that invoice before it reaches the customer, so they can validate it. You know, is the data correct? Is it, does it contain all the relevant fields and data they want? Some tax authorities are either even able to validate, you know, has the correct tax been charged on that invoice? And, you know, because they've got all that data, they can then run analytics, exception reports. In some countries, actually, you know, AI, machine learning, you know, really using advanced technologies to really interrogate that data, you know, look for errors, look for inconsistencies, look for gaps, you know, really trying to identify fraud. And we saw this first introduced in Italy, a country which has historically, you know, had a very high VAT gap, you know, large instances of fraud. They introduced that in 2019, you know, initially invoicing for domestic business-to-business sales. They've now extended that this year for additional e-reporting, digital reporting of international sales and purchases. So, you know, the authorities getting that whole holistic view of every transaction that, you know, the Italian businesses are involved in. And we're actually seeing, you know, the level of fraud, the tax collected is actually going up as well. So it's no surprise that other countries are then looking to implement this too. And, you know, just in the next 2 years, you know, we're going to see mandatory e-invoicing issued in Poland, in France, in Spain, probably in Belgium, Slovakia. Most likely, you know, the vast majority of European countries in the next 2 to 3 years. And, you know, that's a huge change. It's a huge change in the way tax is administered, collected, recovered, but also actually how businesses do business, you know, how they interact with their trading partners, how they issue an invoice and ultimately get paid.
That's amazing, the scope that this is taken on in such a short period of time. So tell me a little bit about what's going on here in the U.S. We're kind of taking baby steps toward this as well with something called the e-invoice exchange market pilot. So tell me a little bit about what this is and what's going on with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, first thing I'll say is, you know, this isn't necessarily a tax driven initiative, you know, just because, of course, there isn't, you know, a single federal VAT, VAT, sales tax in the US, because we have, you know, tax at the state and local level, you know, it is not being driven by that. But instead, it is being driven by the Business Payments Coalition. So this is a group which is organized and led by the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. And it's a group of stakeholders set up to promote the adoption of electronic payments, remittance data, and invoicing between businesses in the US. You know, so really trying to unlock the value, the process efficiencies of moving to digital. So moving away from maybe more archaic paper invoices, you know, physically printing off and mailing, you know, and even looking for further automation. You know, a lot of businesses will adopt PDF invoices now. You know, that's very mainstream, you know, from ERP systems, accounting software. But a lot of businesses are still just attaching that as an email and sending it out. And what the BPC is looking to do is encourage and foster the adoption of digital technology and automate you know, the issue and exchange of invoices. And so they created this market pilot, and it is a pilot. It's looking to build and then test a virtual network, a network of different US businesses to exchange e-invoices between each other. We've just had, we've just started phase one. So there are 20 participants in this. So they've got a very good, you know, diverse range of interested stakeholders, you know, everything from kind of banks, payment processors, you know, commerce, you know, all the way through to the actual technology providers that can provide these solutions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in Miami last month. The BPC held a workshop on the pilot, you know, really giving everyone an update on where they are. And, you know, really is a success story. You know, okay, only 20 participants so far. That was planned. That's going to gradually scale up to 31 participants in the pilot towards the end of the year in Q4. But those 20 that have joined, they are successfully being able to raise issue e-invoices within this network that's been created. So, you know, there's a directory. People can find their counterparty. They can find their customer on the directory. And then, you know, literally within a few clicks, send an e-invoice directly to them. So the idea is, you know, that's going to save time. It's going to save dollars. And it's ultimately going to lead to a more efficient and easier way to do business.
That's fantastic. So a quick question. I think I heard you kind of walk through this. I mean, what we're talking about here is kind of a secure, open delivery framework for e-invoices, right, between providers. Are we talking about like a blockchain type of technology at play here? We're eliminating kind of that middleman utilizing a technology like that. What's the back end look like on this?
Yeah, so they're probably not looking at blockchain yet, but you know, as kind of e-invoicing develops, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, some sort of blockchain or secure ledger, you know, is implemented within a kind of end-to-end ecosystem, you know, for e-invoicing. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing is more of a kind of open network. So you know, there are access points that are being created. The access points are provided by service providers in the US. So e-invoicing businesses who are creating the entry point to the network. And the network, you know, really is, let's even call it a community. It's a community of different businesses, you know, who are all joining this network through their access providers. They all have access to a directory, you know, almost like a telephone directory. People can find each other and then securely exchange an invoice.
I got you.
And that invoice is going to be, you know, in a predefined format. So part of the pilot program has been, you know, getting together all the stakeholders and working through agreeing, you know, US specifications, you know, for e-invoicing. So it's not a Wild West, you know, it's right. Not, you know, this business and this state, you know, is using this niche invoice format. You know, there are going to be common formats and standards that need to be met. And that's really important because it's all about interoperability. You know, the idea that, you know, even though different businesses may be using different software to access this network, the document itself can be accepted. It can be read, interpreted at the other end by the counterparty.
So, and these standards that we're dealing with here in the US with this pilot, are those the same type of standards that other countries are using? In other words, is this going to be standardized from country to country to country so that, you know, all of this kind of flows seamlessly across borders?
It's a really, really good question. And, you know, sadly, there isn't one global format. But we're trying to move towards that, or at least to increased interoperability between countries, between regions with the standards. So, you know, there's various different initiatives. There's the GIF at the moment, which is looking at kind of creating core standards across the globe. If we look beyond the US, the kind of main kind of network and standard is PEPL. So PEPL actually started off within the EU, the European Union, for public procurement. Mm-hmm. And there's the idea that they could create a common e-invoice standard that could be used across all of the European member countries with a predefined format specifications. So that was a great success, and it was built upon a pan-European e-invoicing standard that the EU developed. And that was then exported to Asia Pacific. So Australia and New Zealand have recently adopted PEPL. They then realized there actually, look, in Australia and New Zealand, we don't have VAT or VAT, we have GST. Very similar, but a different name. So they slightly had to start tweaking the invoice format, you know, the names of some of the fields, you know, the language used. Sure. And so you're starting to move away, you know, from exactly the same standard that Europe has. So I think, you know, based on that learning experience, you know, people have realized we can't just have, you know, 100%, you know, plain vanilla for every single country.
Sure.
So we're moving to something known as actually PINT, which I think is a great name. And that's looking to actually kind of get a core set of requirements, you know, maybe 80% mm-hmm. of the invoice standards in a country, a core that allows interoperability across every different country, you know, common standards, common formats, common data elements. And then, you know, the final, you know, kind of 10, maybe 15% is more kind of regional variations. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, any final difference there, maybe the top, you know, 5% is the localization.
Gotcha.
You know, additional things that a country, a government, a tax authority wants to add. So, you know, we're really at the beginning of that journey. But, you know, it is good to see collaboration. And, you know, again, at the event I attended in Miami, you know, as well as the BPC being there talking about the pilot, PEPL was also there, the open PEPL organization that run PEPL. You know, they were there to talk about this, and everyone's working together. They're talking, they're sharing best practice, and ultimately, you know, we're trying to get to a point where you know, just like the world is interconnected, businesses trade cross-border, you know, businesses can start issuing and receiving e-invoices regardless of where they are in the world, and regardless of, you know, ultimately which platforms invoices need to go to, or which endpoints or access points businesses need to connect to.
Yeah. So this US pilot, how long does this run?
So it actually runs to the end of this year. Okay. So as I said, you know, wave one will finish at the end of June. And then there's two more waves this year. Okay. You know, July to September, then October to December. And then, you know, by next year, 2023, you know, the pilot should hopefully then lead to an actual, you know, go live e-invoicing network.
Yeah.
You know, the pilot is testing the infrastructure. It's testing the business process. It's helped develop these standards. It's helping kind of get that documented. And hopefully, you know, with the results here, it will scale. You know, businesses will want to join. Businesses will see the business benefits. You know, there's some great statistics out there around the actual cost savings by issuing and receiving e-invoices. I mentioned France before. You know, we're very interested in France there, because there's 4 million businesses that are going to have to be able to issue and receive e-invoices from 2024 in 2 years' time.
Oh my gosh!
99% of those businesses are small businesses. They're kind of SMBs. So you know, it's imperative. You know, that the technology is there for them. You know, they can adapt their processes. But one of the drivers in France is, you know, financial transformation for the country, finding efficiencies, as well as the tax side. And the stats I really love coming out of France is, you know, they believe it costs on average 10 euros, so around 10 bucks per paper invoice issued.
Wow.
For a business. And, you know, you're replacing that with an e-document where, you know, they said it's cheaper than a postage stamp.
Amazing. That's great. Oh my gosh. I mean, so many different opportunities here to take advantage of. What does all this mean for CPAs, for accounting and finance professionals? What do they need to know about all this?
I think, you know, in the States, you know, we're bound to see increased adoption of e-invoicing. So, you know, maybe we may see the end of, you know, reviewing physical paper invoices, you know, the idea of a CPA kind of auditing, you know, looking through, you know, more traditional invoices. So I think potentially, you know, how that data is viewed, interrogated, but there's going to be benefits there for CPAs. You know, if we're doing audits, if we're, you know, we're looking into accounting, we can look at a far greater data sets, you know, no longer just looking at samples, you know, really looking at, you know, all invoices, all transactions, because as well as the invoice being sent electronically, you know, you should be able to run some great reports off that too. You know, really looking at some really powerful data. But also, you know, if CPAs are advising clients with a footprint out of the US, you know, I'm pretty sure soon that conversation is going to steer towards, you know, the tax angles of e-invoicing and e-reporting. Because as I said before, you know, it's the clear direction of travel. And, you know, ultimately it will replace the VAT return and tax returns locally. You know, that's how the tax authority will receive the data. They will ingest all this transactional data and, you know, they'll actually be in a better position to prepare the tax return than the business themselves.
Right.
And we're already starting to see this. We're seeing this in Poland, you know, in Spain, you know, some of the return can be pre-completed. France is going to do the same. So, yeah, it's definitely a trend that the CPA should be aware of.
And Avalara, what is Avalara doing in relation to all this? What's your role here?
Yeah, so, you know, Avalara, we're, you know, we really want to be involved in every transaction around the globe. And, you know, traditionally we've been involved in the reporting or the tax calculation at the point of sale. With e-invoicing, it really gives us an opportunity to be part of the actual live transaction, you know, really even creating that document, you know, helping the business be compliant, but also get paid. So, you know, we acquired a company last year in Posia, based in Germany, and, you know, real good heritage there of e-invoicing and EDI technology. And through that acquisition, you know, we can now provide e-invoicing solutions across 60 different countries. Mm. And that's growing every day, you know, as we, you know, track all these developments across Europe and the globe, you know, there are then requirements and mandates for us to meet.
Alex, I'm curious, what does the future of tax collection kind of look like to you?
I mean, I certainly think in terms of, you know, reporting, it's digital, it's granular data, it's submission to the tax authority in real time, either through electronic invoicing for B2B or kind of a parallel e-reporting, digital reporting process for sales to consumers and cross-border activity. In terms of the actual collection, very interesting question. You know, could we see, you know, some sort of kind of blockchain being involved? Could we even see some sort of split payment? Could we see banks, credit cards acting as a collecting agent, you know, with the tax going direct to the tax authority in real time? We've actually seen something similar already. So in Poland, Poland introduced a split payment mechanism where, you know, for certain sales, the purchaser actually makes a split payment. So They pay the net value of the invoice direct to the vendor's bank accounts. And the tax element, the VAT, actually goes to a separate standalone VAT account the vendor holds. The Polish banks have to set up a special tax account for every business. And that account can only be used to, you know, settle tax debts, to the tax authority. So, you know, maybe not moving completely to real-time payment remittance straight away. But I think that's a good example of where tax authorities are trying to be a bit more innovative. We already see, some credit card payment processors within Latin America having that requirement to kind of withhold a tax amount and pay that over. Again, that might be a trend we see over here. The other interesting thing is, I think tax authorities are, really seeing the value in, what payment processors do and the data they have access to. So, from 2024, there's actually going to be, legislation within the EU which, forces payment processors to actually report on cross-border payments, which have customers in the EU. So tax authorities are going to use that data to spot where companies should be registered for tax and they should be remitting.
Amazing. Well, it's definitely an exciting time. And I appreciate your time being here and helping us help walk us through that and explain some of the finer details of it. So Alex, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Bill, my absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Great talk there with Alex Balf. Alex is Senior Director of Global Indirect Tax at Avalara. And you can learn more about all of this by visiting avalara.com. That's AVALARA.com. Also, be sure to check out the Business Payments Coalition. That's at businesspaymentscoalition.org. Click on electronic invoices while you're there. And don't forget, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers, our partners in this profession. They are doing things that we believe can help you become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org/showcase. And that's all I got, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.